Hi there. How's it going? You're a good-looking bunch of people. I just want you all to know that. So it is so great. Hey, there you go, Dan. By the way, Daniel, I still have serious beard envy. I just want you to know that. That's an awesome beard. Hey, yeah, you got to comb that really well, though, don't you? Yeah, okay, sorry. I'm done embarrassing you. Anyways, I almost backed up into that. That would have been a great start to this, wouldn't have it? Anyways, it is so great to be with all of you this morning. I am Pastor Matt. I am the children's and family pastor here at Summit Church. Pastor Stephen and Pastor William are up on the mountain right now for the leadership retreat. I heard it was wet and it was cold, but I hear they're dry now. So that's the good news. So praise the Lord for that. I hear it was a great time, and we're so thankful they got to do that. So you're stuck with me. Yeah, there you go. I was fishing there. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I was. Whew. Man, that would have been bad if everybody went. Okay, anyways. All right, moving on. Praise God that we get to gather together and look at the word of the Lord and grow together as a family of believers. And I'm so excited what God has in store for us. I have to tell you, I have loved this series. We've been going through Love Multiplies, and we've been talking about what is our purpose as believers, as followers of Jesus. What should we be looking towards? What is the bullseye? I was really hoping Pastor William was going to shoot the apple, though. You guys remember this? Anyways, the bullseye. What is the bullseye? And we're talking about loving God with everything and loving everyone with God's love. Now, this is the bullseye if you're a follower of Jesus. This isn't only Summit Church's bullseye. This is a bullseye for every follower of Jesus, is to love God with everything and love everyone with God's love. Now, it seems so simple, right? But the application is much harder. In a lot of situations, loving God with everything, I think we can wrap our mind around that to a certain extent. Because when we think of everything, it means all of us. To give everything we have to God. Everything. We understand that. But what does it mean to love everyone with God's love? What does it mean? What does it look like? How do we do it? Goodness, I don't like people. How can I love them? Wait, did I say that out loud? But how do we do this? How do we love people with God's love? What does that look like? What does that even mean? You know, what's really interesting about these is they're kind of inseparable. Because let me tell you, if you're loving God with everything, He's doing a change, a work in your heart. He's making it impossible for you not to love everyone with God's love. If this isn't happening for you, guess what? This isn't probably happening either. I hate to say it, bearer of bad news, but there's the truth. If this is happening, this is going to be happening. Now, does love a feeling? No, Pastor William talked about this. It's not just an emotion, it's not a feeling, it's an action. It's a choice. Okay, moment of transparency. I love being a children's pastor, but there's some Sundays where I don't want to come. But I still am here. Not only because it's my job. I'm here because I love those kids. And that love goes beyond an emotion. It's something God's working in my heart and my life to see these little ones, to see His people, His creation as He sees them. Loving everyone with God's love. Now, if you remember right, Pastor William last week, he gave us this example. He was talking about watchers, fans, and players. Now, Pastor William went into all these details, so I don't need to. Yes. So watchers, fans, if you want to know what those are, go listen to last week's sermon. And you can look at that. But I want to focus on the players. Now, see, in a basketball game, when we talk about players, I want the most talented, right? I want the people that got the hustle, they can score the points, make the buckets, and they got good D. That's who I want on my team if I'm talking about players. But what's so interesting is when we take this and we translate it to church life, we're all called to play the game. Whether we're talented or gifted or not. Whether we have the skills necessary. You know, the Great Commission is a great passage. And I mean, right there, Jesus sends out all His disciples. He says, go and tell the good news. He tells it to every single one of them. Go and tell. Here's the most interesting thing and part about that. He let every disciple go. It didn't matter their talent, their gifting. It didn't matter that Thomas was like, well, I'm not going to believe until I see his hands and his feet and see the holes. It didn't matter. He's like, go. It didn't matter. He told him to go. I love that God likes to use imperfect people. It keeps me in a job. Anyways. Sorry, too much. But anyways, I love it. He loves to use us and utilize us and through our faithfulness work. Because here's the thing, this is what's so beautiful about that. This, when we love everyone with God's love, that means we're pouring ourselves out for people. And we're going to talk about what Jesus is saying with that in just a moment. But as we pour ourselves out for people, we got to be filled back up, right? So what is it doing in our relationship with God? It's causing that to grow too. I love this. It works together. It's a beautiful thing, and it's how God designed it. As we pour ourselves out for others, we come back to the source to be poured back into, right? We come back to God, and it's with an even greater intensity. I remember when I got my call to ministry. I was 16 years old. I was doing kids camp, and I had 25 boys to myself. I was crying that week. It was hard. It was tough. I had two cabins and I was going back and forth. Are you guys asleep yet? What? Stop turning your flashlight. You know, all this other stuff. I was trying to get them to go to sleep. It was, and I felt like I wasn't getting through with them. I was like, they don't like me. And I was just in tears. And I remember God saying, guess what? You're going to do this the rest of your life. I've been dependent on Him ever since. Praise God. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. We're all called to be players. And you know, when we talk about what it looks like to be in the game, when it looks like to love others with God's love or love everyone with God's love, let's look at what this looks like. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 22, verses 24 through 27 today, and we're going to be in John. Now, I want to set this up a little bit for you. This is the Last Supper, okay? So this is moments before Jesus is arrested and then crucified on the cross. In a lot of ways, these are his last words to his disciples. This is his last moment. Now, even though the disciples got to walk and talk and live around perfection, Jesus Christ, they were not perfect. And our conversation starts today with them having a little bit of a disagreement. Let's read it together. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves?" Well, here it is. Jesus answers it for us. "Is it not the one who is at the table?" All right, let's leave it there, right? That's good. Wait. "But," Jesus says, "I am among you as one who serves." If that's not profound enough, let me put it another way. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, God Almighty in human form says, I am among you as one who serves. I am among you as one who serves. Let's continue on in John. So John, one of the most iconic moments in Scripture happens just before this, and that's Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And they were probably gross. And here's the other thing to understand. This was considered the lowest of the lowest job. This was for the lowest slave in the house. As my kids in children's ministry would tell you, they probably had poop on their feet. Just keeping it real. And what did Jesus do? He got down and washed the feet of the disciples. And it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he said. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you," don't miss this, "no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." For our purposes today, I'm just going to leave these on the screen for you. Because I don't feel like I have to convince you that loving everyone with God's love looks a lot like serving. I don't think I need to convince you of that. I think Jesus made that very clear with his life. He made that very clear with his words to his disciples here at the Last Supper. It is clear throughout Scripture what it looks like to love everyone with God's love is to serve them, is to pour ourselves out. I mean, Jesus himself served us by going to the cross. I mean, if you think about it, he came to serve to the point of death. And sometimes we're sitting here going, I don't know if I can make time. I don't know if I can have the energy. Oh, I don't know if that's something I can do. And I want to make something very clear right now. When we talk about service today, we're not talking about Sunday morning. We're not talking about Wednesday nights. We're not talking about Sunday night at youth. That's part of it. We're talking about a lifestyle. Jesus didn't just serve on Sunday mornings. Jesus didn't just serve on Wednesday nights. He had a lifestyle of serving. He served his disciples. He served the people that came. He served those he healed. He served all the time. It was a lifestyle. He poured himself out because he knew where he could go and be filled. Through the word of God, through prayer, he filled. And he showed that example to us. He went off and prayed. He took moments to be filled, but he served. He served and it was a lifestyle. You know what? We're called to serve our spouse. I don't think I'm telling you anything that you don't already know, but that means it's not about you. You're supposed to make it about them. Put them first. Most importantly, you're supposed to put Jesus first in that relationship with how you serve your spouse. We're supposed to serve our kids. I sometimes think it should be the other way around, but we are. We are. And for our kids, they're supposed to learn by serving us in certain aspects. That's part of the process. We're called to a lifestyle of service, of serving, of pouring ourselves out for others. And it's so important that we put it into practice and not let anything stand in the way of it. We have to be willing and available. You know what? In this room, I know almost everyone in here is willing. Man, we have some of the best of intentions. I'm the first one with that, right? But if you remember Pastor Stephen talking, good intentions mean squat if you don't do anything about it. I can tell you, I've had plenty of married couples come in and have counseling, and I've heard from other pastors, and all of them have the best of intentions. But if you don't actually apply those intentions, it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't do anything. There's no results. We have to be willing and available. Are you making margin in your life for God to interrupt it? I like to ask people, if God was to reveal to you that you need to do something, would you be able to take a break from the busy and do it? Would you be even accessible for him to ask you of that? Do you have any margin? How can we be there for people? How can we love everyone if we're not ever taking a moment to think about somebody else? If we're so busy that we don't even take time to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes, or more importantly, think about what Jesus would want us to do in that situation. We have to make ourselves available. It's not just enough to have good intentions. Are you making margin for your family? Are you as a family making this a priority? Because I got to tell you, if you want your kids to model this, you have to lead them in it. That's as much for me as it is for any other parent here. And I don't always do a good job modeling it. I need to do better. We all do. We have to be willing and available because he's worth it. God is worth it. And what he is going to do through that faithfulness, through that faithful act from us, is worth it every single time. Now, I'm realistic. We can't be there for everybody. That's just not possible. But what happens if all of us were determined to do this? Would there be a need to be there for everybody? If all of us were determined to do this in our own circles? Just a challenge for you. But I'm among you as one who serves. The Lord Almighty says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. Don't worry, we're not going to wash any feet today. But Take what he's saying. Don't be afraid to get dirty in the pursuit of loving everyone with God's love. Might be a messy job. There have been some toilets that have needed some unplugging here at the church, and that wasn't very pleasant, I'm just telling you guys. So, it might look like that. You never know. But let us be willing. Let us be willing for what God has for us. You know, one of the things that I see that we trap ourselves, we tell ourselves lies. You know what? I'm convinced we are awesome liars when it comes to ourselves. I'm convinced we are so good at lying to ourselves a lot of times. You know, I can't tell you how many times over the years I've heard people say, I'm not gifted, I'm not talented, I couldn't do that. When Jesus says go, he doesn't say if you're talented and gifted, go. When he says share the good news, he doesn't say if you're talented and gifted, share the good news. No, he says we're all to share the good news, and guess what? We're all good at sharing good news. A perfect example of this is when we have something to share, we can't wait to share it with people, right? I think the problem is that we forget that we have the greatest news of all to share. That Jesus has come, that Jesus died, he rose again, and he is sitting on his throne in heaven. And all that believe in him will have eternal life and life to the full here and now. We forgot that we have the greatest news ever to share is, I think, the problem. I don't think any of us struggle sharing good news. I remember when Laura and I got pregnant for the first time. We had waited 7 years for Tears, and we were told we were never going to have kids. Well, oh man, we couldn't wait to tell everybody. It was so exciting. When somebody else told somebody before we got to them, it made me mad. I wanted to tell them that good news. And then when our second came, it was the same. It was good news. We were so excited. Now our third was a little close to the second, so not such good news. We love her. We thank God for her. We're very happy we have her. But it was a little rough. Some of you can relate. But when we have good news to share, we share it. So why do we hesitate so much with this? Why are we so hesitant? Why do we say, God can't use me? I can't do that. You know what? I'm convinced that if we're really honest, it's not us that we lack faith in. It's God that we lack faith in. Because here's the thing. When you say you can't, what you're saying is God's not big enough. When you say you don't have the gift and talents, you're not equipped, what you're saying is God made a mistake making you. We all have the ability to do what God calls us to do. Now, yes, do gifts and talents play? Yes. Pastor Matt should not be singing on the worship team, people. It shouldn't be happening. The Petty Johns had to endure me this morning. But they should not be happening. Gifts and talents do matter. But here's the thing. What's most important to God is us stepping out in faith and being found faithful. That's what's most important. You know, Matthew, Pastor William was talking about this. He was using the parable of, if you remember, of the talents. And this is Matthew 25, 23 area. And he was talking, so there was, you guys remember, there was three servants. He gave talents to all the servants, the master did. He gave talents to them, money. And two used it, invested it, did something with it, and brought back more when the master came back. One hid it, was scared, did nothing with what was given, didn't trust the master and didn't trust himself, and nothing came of it. The two were told, well done, good and faithful servant. The one was told, you wicked and lazy servant, be gone from my sight. Here's the key, though. This is what I don't want us to forget. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's start breaking down some lies. Remember that it isn't well done, good and successful servant. It isn't. It's well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, good and successful servant. Because here's the amazing thing about being a player in God's family. You're not the all-star. You're not the one that scores. The only person that changes lives, changes hearts, makes a difference is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? It's not me. You know, 23 lives were baptized. 23 people were baptized last week. You talk to any of the pastoral staff, the entire credit is God's. Did God use us? Did God use you? Sure. But it is His. and His glory. He lets us be part of it, but it's all His. And when we are found faithful, guess what? He works in amazing ways. Because guess what? God is faithful. And He never lets down. And when we step out in faith and we're faithful, He works. He uses. He moves. It doesn't look the same for everybody. Everybody's experience is different. Some see a return right away. They see God changing hearts and lives. Some, it's years and years. You just don't know, but the end result is not where your focus is. That's God's. Your focus is on being found faithful in what He has called me to do. Am I improving? Am I growing? Am I doing it better each time? Am I being found faithful? You know, an example of this is story. This last year in the hunt. Okay, so the last few years in the hunt, we've averaged top maybe 50 kids. You know, somewhere in the 40 to 30 range. Well, this year, I don't know what happened, but it just kind of blew up. Our lowest was probably in the 60s, and our highest, we ran over 100 a few times. And this is just elementary kids we're talking about. That doesn't include our nursery, which ran about 20 on a given night. It was crazy. Yeah, good job, Holly. I saw your thumbs up. I mentioned the nursery. Holly was one of our volunteers in the nursery. She was awesome. Way to go. And anyways, but it was insane. And we did not have enough volunteers. Praise God. Great problem. So we're asking for volunteers, and I think I got a pity volunteer. His name was Lane Quam. I think he felt sorry for me, and he decided to see if he could help. He did so very excited. No, actually, he wasn't excited at all. And he'd be honest about that. He didn't really want to do it. He just felt he should do it. See how God worked.
Good morning, Summit Church. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Lane Quam, and as Pastor Matt said, I kind of jumped into something I wasn't really expecting. My two daughters and my wife are both attending Wednesday night for the hunt in different capacities. Hannah, my youngest, was actually in the hunt as a young individual, and Holly was helping in the nursery, and my wife Becky was helping as a volunteer and also leading a life group with the 6th and 7th grade girls group. And I found myself on Wednesday evenings kind of sitting at home thinking, you know, this is all right. I got the house to myself, and you know, I thought it was just great having my alone time. Well, that lasted a couple weeks, and Pastor Matt was looking for more volunteers and looking for help, and I just kind of got to thinking, well, maybe I should go and see if I could be of help. And I really didn't think it was what I wanted to do. And I guess to kind of back up a little bit of where I was at in my faith journey, we've been attending Summit for 5 or 6 years now, been here, and about 3 years ago, I kind of had a revelation. In my mind, I was wondering, what am I getting out of church? What's in it for me? And that was my mindset for a long time. I mean, for several years, I just thought that's what I had to do. That's the way it was. And Pastor William gave a sermon one Sunday morning that really put it into perspective for me, and I realized that it isn't what I get out of church or what's in it for me. It's what I can do, what I can give, where I can serve. And I know that's been a big emphasis here at Summit, is how and where we can serve. And it just kind of hit me along the side of the head, like, wow, this is it. I need to serve. And then was the next problem. We talked about talents, and I'm like, where's my talent? What, you know, where can I give? Where can I help? What can I do? So when this opportunity came up, it wasn't exactly what I thought I wanted to do. It wasn't exactly what I thought was my talent or my strength. And I guess you can just say the Lord works in mysterious ways, that He puts us where we need to be. So the first time helping at the hunt on Wednesday evening, you might say it was a little terrifying. walk in and there's a group of kids, and to me it was probably disorganized chaos. It was interesting, but I stuck with it and hung around and just kind of hung back and watched and took it all in. And the next week I was terrified. It was a little scary, but I went. The biggest thing for me was about halfway through the year, really starting to make a connection with the kids, and they're coming to you, asking you questions, you know, seeking help and seeking, I guess, a relationship. And that was huge. And that's where it started to turn around for me. And by the end of the year, I was looking forward to Wednesday evenings. You know, by Monday night, Tuesday night, I was ready to get back and see the kids and have those connections. And it just really went full circle for me. And I guess the thing that really culminated was that one of the last nights, we had the fifth grade boys who were kind of moving out of the hunt, going into middle school, asked if they could come back next year. And Pastor Matt said, sure, you can come back, you know, hang out and you can help, but you got to help. And then I believe one of them asked if they could come and if Mr. Qualm would lead a life group for them. So this year, I will be leading a middle school boys life group on Wednesday nights during the hunt. We will be spending a little bit of time helping with the kids, maybe with some games, and then I will be going into group study with them. And a lot of it will be correlating with Pastor Williams' sermons, just like the adult life groups do. So what that'll do is create an opening for somebody to volunteer and step up and help out with Pastor Matt in the hunt. I would challenge any of you out there who are looking for a place to serve, looking to use your talents you might not know you have, I would really recommend seeing Pastor Matt or myself and getting yourself involved in the hunt. Thank you for your time, and we'll hopefully see you Wednesday night.
I'm so thankful for Lane this year. I have to also share a story. I don't know if I've shared this with him, so this might be the first time he's heard this too. But we had one boy who's in fifth grade, and he's been attending the hunt off and on for 2 years. This year, he made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when I talked to him about his journey, when I talked to him about why this year was different than past, one of the people he attributed to that was Lane. See, this is the amazing thing. God is the one that changes hearts and souls, but he uses us. He reveals his love to people through us when we're found faithful in doing what he's called us to do. What a wonderful thing that is. I'm so thankful I get to be part of it. You know, I've gotten to see many children over the years I've been part in children's ministry come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I've gotten to see some of those kids grow up. They're in here, actually. I've gotten to see a few of them actually get married. It's kind of crazy. But all in all, I've been excited to see that a lot of them, most of them, have continued to stay strong for the Lord. And I just want us to know that when we are found faithful, there is always eternal impact. Always. Might not always be visible. Might not always be clear. For me, there was a man by the name of Jim at my church. I liked him because he was the candy guy. He'd have candy in his pocket. Us kids would come in. He'd hand us candy. We'd eat candy. Oh, I loved it. And then he was part of my life in children's ministry and in youth ministry. He wasn't like full, like high energy like I am. He was kind of down to earth, really like a no-nonsense guy in a lot of ways. He would correct me when I needed correction. He would try to bring understanding in my life when I needed understanding. He would tell me to behave and listen to my parents when I needed that. There was all sorts of different things, but he was there, consistent, and found faithful in loving me with the love of God. And that led me as a teenager to go to youth camp for all the wrong reasons. There was cute girls. For all the wrong reasons, but it led me to go to youth camp, and why a pastor was preaching, I couldn't even tell you what he was preaching. But I remember what Jim had been preaching to me all his life and how he lived. And I made a decision for Jesus. And I've never looked back. And it's been powerful. And this is how God moves. When we are found faithful, even though we're probably going to mess it up sometimes. But our God's bigger than that. Even though we might make mistakes, but our God's bigger than that. Even though, if you're like me, you might say the wrong thing every once in a while. But our God's bigger than that. For me, it's a lot of time, not just once in a while. But anyways, but God's bigger than that. We have to be found faithful. And we have to realize something. This is a truth, I'm convinced. Because you know what? I grew up in a church where I heard all about God's love. My parents taught me about Jesus. I heard that God loved me, He created me, He made me. But it wasn't real to me. It never had translated here until I had someone show it to me. That's the thing. A lot of times we need to see it in someone before it becomes real to us. And it made the Word of God become real to me. It made Jesus become real to me. Because I'm like, if He could love me like this, God must be real. And it was one of these amazing moments, and I realized this. We all need somebody. We all need Jesus most and first, right? But a lot of the times, how we get there is because somebody's being Jesus for us. Somebody is showing us Jesus. Somebody is leading us to Jesus. Somebody is modeling the example for us. We all need somebody. In my faith still, I am so thankful to have people that I work with like William and Stephen and Dan, Sue and Karen and Rachel, because you know what? They call me out. They call me out towards the Lord. I still need somebody. I'm so thankful for my wife of 14 years. Who does not let me settle? We all need somebody. We all need people in our lives that are going to challenge us, that are going to encourage us, that are going to show us the love of Jesus when we feel so far from Him. Because we're going to have moments like that too. And the question is, are we going to make the choice to be somebody for somebody? Not just only let somebody be there for us, but move to the next step. And go as Jesus tells us to do. And serve as Jesus tells us to do. And love everyone with God's love as Jesus tells us to. And be somebody for somebody. This is, you're going to see this around a lot this year. Because we want to ask the question of everyone here. Are you willing to be a happy face? A smiling face? A welcoming face? Are you willing to be a servant? Be a mentor? Are you willing to be a partner, a mentor, an advocate, a helper, an encourager? Because we do all have different talents and gifts. And let us all be found faithful of using what we have, even if we believe it's meager. Let us be found faithful. Let us be somebody for somebody. And what's really cool is today you have the chance to apply this right away. Amen. Serve the City Sunday is next week. Let us be found faithful. We had 300 volunteers last year. Let's make it 400 this year. Let us go out and serve our community. Let us be the light of Jesus. Let us love them as Jesus loves them. Let us get dirty for the cause of Christ. Let us give some dollar bills and some car washes as we express grace. Let us have a lot of fun. Serving the one who really is worthy, Jesus Christ. Let us be somebody for somebody. Let us be there for our community. And if you have not signed up, I want to encourage you to sign up. I know some people might have vacation. There might be other circumstances going on. I get that. This is not the only chance to serve. You're not a horrible person if you can't come. That's not it. We're all called to serve, though. It's a lifestyle. Where do you need to start investing more margin to serve better? Where do you need to be somebody for somebody? Where is that? So Serve the City Sunday is an option. You can sign up as you leave today. Another option is in your bulletin, you have an insert, and it lists like all the different ministries we have. One that's not mentioned in there, I think there's actually two, but Hebrews Cafe and maybe being a life group leader. You know, if you would have any interest in opening your home up. But my question for you is, do you want to take the next step? At least listen, at least have somebody call and talk. Don't let your excuse be, I'm too old. Don't let your excuse be, I don't have enough talent. Don't let anything stand in your way, because your God is much bigger than any excuse you could come up with. Be somebody for somebody. And just let's apply our faith. Let's make it happen. Let me pray for us. Gracious Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to do kingdom work. The opportunity we have to be found faithful for your sake. Lord, the opportunity we have to see you work as we're found faithful, because you're the all-star. You're the one that makes the difference. God, I pray. I don't know where people are in here. I don't know where they're being challenged right now, but you do. Lord, I pray you give them clarity to what the next step is, to start applying what it means to love everyone with your love. Whether that's at the home, whether that's at work, whether that's here, wherever that may be, Lord, give that clarity. And just be with us as we leave this place. And may you just continue to challenge us in all ways. We pray this in the mighty name of King Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen.